Psalm 95 is divided into two parts. The first part is praise and joyful worship. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The second part of Psalm 95 begins with a plea to the people. Oh, that today you would listen to God's voice. And this is followed by a reminder of our past sins and a call to not do those again. In my version that we just sang, the praise and worship part, part one, is all in a major key and bright and light, but then the verses are in a minor key, more somber, and that reflects the second part of the psalm. This psalm refers to the time in the wilderness of 40 years where the people of Israel tested and questioned God. There's reference, as I mentioned earlier, to Meribah and Massa. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the days at Massa in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me. Ever since seminary, I've just loved that verse. The name Meribah means testing, and the name Massa means grumbling. The people tested and grumbled against God, and they grumbled against God's chosen leader, Moses. So Moses struck a rock, and God sent water from the rock to quench the thirst of the people in the desert. At the beginning of Psalm 95, we praise God as the rock of our salvation. We're reminded that we need to rely on God, not on a miraculous rock of flowing water. Rely on God, the rock of our salvation, our foundation. Psalm 95 is a worship psalm. Several commentators are quite negative about the structure of this psalm. When you read it, when I started preparing for this sermon, it was like negative after negative, and it was like, you know, are you enjoying this psalm or what? They say that it doesn't make sense for us to start worship with joyful praise and then all of a sudden God joins in, God speaks up and reminds us of our sin. We're being all joyful and then God's voice comes and puts it in a minor key. Some commentators even insist that the second part doesn't belong in there and it was just tacked on over the years, which does happen at many places in the manuscripts. But I think in the ancient culture, this makes total sense. This is an ancient liturgy, and I personally love the structure. I like it when worship begins with joyful praise. What a friend we have in Jesus. I like it when we sing hymns at the beginning of worship. Glory to God in the highest. This is the feast of victory. I love that when we do it at the beginning. And then we listen to God's voice. I've always been told, and I believe, that God speaks through the written and the spoken word. God is speaking to us. Listen to the Lord your God. God also speaks through the sermon, through the message. And people wonder why I don't feel adequate or confident in my preaching. Who am I to bring God's word to the people? Oh, it's crazy sometimes to think that that's my calling. Part of preaching is to warn people to stop sinning. And that's the structure of Psalm 95. Stop sinning. Think about the consequences of your sin. So we begin with praise. And in the middle, we're asked to think about our sin. Now, in our current liturgy, our worship book puts the confession as the prelude to worship. Even though we don't do it here at St. John's, the confession is supposed to be before the opening hymn. The reasoning is that we confess our sins and then we praise God. But the ancient liturgy of Psalm 95 is the opposite. This liturgy says we praise God first, then we focus on our sins. Now, some of you might know, maybe most of you might know, that I like to tinker with the liturgy a bit. I like to make changes, and they're always for the reason to enhance our worship and to bring us closer to God in the time that we're together. For at least 25 years, I looked this up last night, my computer bulletin files only went back to the year 2000, so I can't tell you if it was longer, I'm sure it was. But for at least 25 years, I moved the confession out of the beginning. I didn't want the confession at the beginning of the service. Oh yes, it's been our Lutheran liturgy since the green hymnal, as we call it. What I did was I put the confession after the sermon with the creed. My reasoning is based on this ancient liturgy. You praise God first, then you listen to God's voice, and then you respond. You confess your sins. You profess your faith. That's what Psalm 95 does. Now, as you know, the end of my sermons are listening to God. I close with prayer, and I ask us to listen to God speaking to us. I only started to do this after I retired. That's something really new for me in my ministry. After a year of sabbatical and coming back to leading worship and preaching, I felt the need to emphasize that a major part of prayer, a major part of connecting with God, is listening to God, not just asking for help, prayers of intercession. And so I started gradually to add that to the end of my sermons. And it's a regular part of my sermons now for us to take some time, take that moment in our worship to listen to the Lord your God. And now notice how that ties in with 95. We praise God. The word of God is proclaimed. And it's as if I quote Psalm 95 every sermon, at the end of every sermon. Oh, that today you would listen to God's voice. It's as if I'm quoting that, that's the reason I do that at the end of every sermon, so that we will listen to God's voice. Now, the Hebrew word, we've got to go into some of the biblical background now. The Hebrew word for listen is shama. In English, it's S-H-A-S-H-A-M-A-H, shama. But the word means more than hearing. The Hebrew word shama has a sense of obedience to it. For example, this is an easy way to think about it. When a parent says to a child, "Listen to me," it's more than just a request to hear the words with your ears. When a parent says to a child, "Listen to me," it means listen and obey. It means listen to what I'm saying and behave accordingly. That's what the Hebrew word shema means. That's when we talk about listening to the Lord. It's a matter of not just hearing what God says, it's a matter of putting that into practice. As Jesus said, as we quoted in that one verse, blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Listen. That's how we listen. Now, based on this word for listen, shema, comes the Hebrew word shema, which is the most important Hebrew prayer ever. You can find the Shema in the books of Deuteronomy and Numbers. Jesus refers to it. The beginning of the Shema is this: "Hear, O Israel." Listen, O Israel. "Hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." That's the beginning of the Shema. It's about three paragraphs. In Jewish traditions, you put the Shema on parchment and place it in a little box called a mezuzah. And that mezuzah is placed on the doorposts of Jewish homes as a reminder that God is present in this home. And Jewish people will touch that mezuzah whenever they enter the house as a reminder. Perhaps you've heard the term phylacteries. Jesus referred to those when he was talking about the Pharisees. Phylacteries are small boxes with the Shema in them, and they're wrapped around the head and extending down onto the arms, and one's put on the hand, back of the hand. And all of these are reminders to us. These outward things are reminders for us to listen to God. It's also a Jewish tradition to put your hands over your eyes when the Shema is spoken. The Lord our God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is a physical reminder to tune out the world and listen only to God. This is what Lent is all about. We set aside 40 days and take some time to tune out worldly things, to take time to tune into God. Now, technically, I haven't been pronouncing the word Shema correctly. That's the way we talk about it in English. But if you go back to the original language, the actual Hebrew pronunciation is Shema. It's pronounced as one syllable. Shema. Soft beginning. That's the origin of my favorite prayer. It's a prayer that reminds us to be still. But it's a prayer that reminds us to listen to God. Shema. Shema. Shh. Be still. Listen. Our physical ears don't hear a physical voice from God, but our soul, our spirit is able to hear God. So be still. Listen to God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. God is speaking love to you. God is speaking peace to you. God is speaking forgiveness to you. God is speaking hope to you. God is speaking love to you.